Feel free to help me out as we preach this morning and bring your amen, your praise God, your hallelujah. As long as it's not gaff, then you're welcome to help us out. This morning, are you excited to be in the presence of God this morning?
Yes.
Yes, amen. This morning we are gathering around the Word of God and allowing the Word of God. We're going to take a wee bit of time, but we're going to gather and allow the Word of God to speak to us in terms of where we've been and where we're going. We're going to allow the scripture to speak and then bring some practical stuff alongside that so that everything that we do is rooted first and foremost in the Word of God. Does that sound okay?
Yeah.
Excellent. Let's just pause and pray then, shall we? Father, right now in this moment, we open up our hearts and our lives to you. We lift our eyes beyond personality and people, beyond profiles and projects and plans and all that stuff, and we fix them firmly upon your presence and upon the person of who you are and what you are calling us to. God, we open up our heart and soul of the church and we invite you to speak to us, God. Speak to us. Lord, we pray that this would be a holy moment, a holy gathering, a sacred assembly for us, as it were, when, Lord, we fix our focus upon you and your voice and press forward into all that is ahead. So come right now, touch your eyes and ears, Holy Spirit, that we would see, that we would hear what it is that you're saying. And Lord, plant something deep down within us that will produce much fruit, fruit that will be to your glory and your glory alone. For this is all about you, Jesus. And we pray and agree this together in Jesus' strong name. Amen. We begin today probably in a scripture that might be a little bit obvious in moments like these. So if you have your Bible, would you turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3? Ecclesiastes chapter 3. It says there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war, and we pray real soon, a time for peace. This scripture highlights that there is a time and a season for every activity under heaven. According to Ecclesiastes, God organizes kingdom activity into seasons, designated times when particular activity is present and appropriate, particular times when God calls things out and he puts things into action, particular times when he places focus upon experiences and specific activity. And we can look back over our own individual lives and over the life and the journey of our church and see this principle in action, can't we? We can recognize times when we experience seasons of particular activity in our lives. Seasons of sowing, of reaping and harvest, seasons of praying, seasons of barrenness, seasons of renewal and outpouring, of giving and receiving, seasons of waiting and holding on, seasons of letting go and finding healing, seasons of transition and seasons of holding ground. Because God organizes kingdom activity into seasons. And it's important then that we learn to discern the seasons of God, that we understand what God is doing and what he's calling us into, because in doing so, we begin to identify the space that God is occupying and we step into it with him. Now, a frame of scripture that speaks about this is one that is tucked away in a list of clans and tribes in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. And it speaks, of course, of the men of Issachar, who are described as men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. The men of Issachar were those who discerned the season and allowed the discernment of their season to determine the action that they were to take within that season. And it's hugely important for us to discern the season to determine the action. We've got to understand the times, the season of God that we're in, and allow that understanding of the season to determine the actions that we now get ready to take. So what season are we in right now? Well, we've been calling it out over the past number of weeks, haven't we? We are in a threshold moment. We're in the threshold about to cross and enter into something new. In the next few weeks, we will begin the journey of emerging out of a pandemic. And the church that entered into the pandemic is not the same as the church emerging out of it. A lot of change is taking place. And a lot of those changes have been determined by restrictions and by safety measures. And while they have been good and they have been right, they have impacted the way that we do things and the culture of church. Sadly, some people coming out of the pandemic have decided not to continue their journey with Glasgow Elam Church. And we pray and release blessing over them into whatever is ahead. Even more sad is that some people have decided not to continue their journey with church full stop. In the midst of all of that, as there has been that change, new people have joined the church, other people have transitioned into the church, and in the midst of this, there has been a change in leadership at Glasgow Elam Church, and truth be told, it wasn't really an ideal time for that to happen, was it? Stepping away from a church in the midst of a pandemic journey is not the ideal situation, and is not something that any pastor would ever want to do, but yet within the sovereign plan of God, it was deemed as the right thing to bring such change, even within a season of turmoil and challenge. Changing leadership as a church is navigating through difficulty is difficult in itself, but by God's grace, he's brought us through. And it's significant that we gather in this moment to examine the season exactly a year to the day that my family were blessed to become part of this church family. 1 year ago to this very day, we were inducted into leadership at Glasgow Elam. And it's been an amazing year, Glasgow. We've got to thank you as we call that out. We've got to thank you as a family for the welcome, for the support, for the love and the patience that you've shown to the Donaldson clan. I need to express that particularly to the staff team. And Susan and I really do want to express that to the deacons and their families, the incredible welcome and support that we have experienced. Experience of transitioning to a new role in a new church, while painful to leave behind a place and a people that we love, the experience of transition has been positive for us. It's been incredible to come and fall in love with all that is Glasgow Elam, and to fall in love with the incredibly diverse community and the heart for God that resides at the heart of this church. But exactly 1 year on, as we get ready to emerge out of this pandemic, it is vitally important that we gather and take stock of where we are and we call out where it is that we're going. At this time, at this significant time, we must identify the season of God that we're in and allow the discernment of the season to determine the action. And the season that I think we're in is actually called out within Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and it's found in verse 5. And it says that there is a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them together. Now, this phrase has actually guided quite a bit of the thinking and the discussion and the strategy over the past 12 months. It served as a bit of a watchword, if you like, for this season. And I bring it to you and submit it to you as where I believe that God is calling us and what God is saying to us. And as we look at that phrase, unlike the other seasons mentioned in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the call to scatter and gather stones does seem a little bit out of place. We can look down that list and we can recognize moments in our own lives when we can see these other things that are listed there just as part of the regular ups and downs of human life. We can identify with birth and death. We can identify with building up and uprooting, with laughing and weeping, with keeping and chucking out. In recent times, we've even seen the value in saying there really is a time to refrain from embracing. But recently, even more so, we've seen the value and how great it is to be able to embrace somebody that you really love. However, while we can see that in this list, the act of gathering and scattering stones is somewhat different and unusual. And in a sense, we can use it as a lens to view the past couple of years. Since March 2020, the experience of faith and of church and for us as ministry, it's been a scattered experience, hasn't it? But as we turn the corner from that, as we begin to emerge from that, the watchword, the mandate that's coming from heaven is it's time to gather, not scatter. And as we said, this has already shaped some actions and decisions that have taken place. In returning to in-person services, we've sought to gather together in one service rather than scattering across multiple services. There was a clear sense of importance to gather as one congregation, to meet in one gathering moment in order to seek God and hear from God together. Now, in the past, there was value in multiple services that responded to the needs of a varying congregation and that structured the church for growth. It was not wrong that they were in place. However, as we shift towards a post-pandemic culture, God is calling us to gather, not scatter. And this means it should be called out that the 9 a.m., 6 p.m. services are unlikely to return in the immediate or near future. Equally, this call to gather instead of scatter has seen us move from streaming entire services live to providing on-demand teaching content from the services after the services. Because digital is great. Actually, digital was great. It helped us to continue to meet online when physically we couldn't gather in the one place together. However, Scripture is clear. Digital is not God's design. Gathered moments is his design. Gathered moments when we come together and encourage one another and we speak to one another and we pray with one another and we worship and experience the movement of voice and the voice of God together. Not moments that we sit scattered in an artificial experience of connection that actually facilitates disengagement as opposed to engagement. I doubt any of us would say that we were as engaged sitting at home in our pajamas watching the screen as we are sitting in this room right now, and I'm grateful you're not sitting here in your pajamas. We gather, and we want to gather at one time in one in-person gathering to press in together, to hear from God together, to move with the presence of God together. Having one gathering point that we all commit to also enables us to provide succinct ministry and to ensure that as we cross over this threshold together, we cross as a gathered congregation and not a scattered one. This thought of gathering over scattering has also shaped the decision to put the plans to explore a city centre church plant and experience on hold. Similarly, after many years of faithful service and ministry at East Kilbride, the decision was made by the team there to bring the East Kilbride church plant to a close because this is a season to gather and not scatter. This is a season to gather people, gather ministry, gather resources. This is the season to come together for what is ahead. Now, that doesn't mean that the adventures or the ventures that we've just mentioned might not or may not be picked up at some point and explored again in the future. They may or they may not, but it does reflect the heart that right now we gather instead of scatter. And as we call that out, it's important that we place on record our thanks to Gary and Rachel Gibson and the City Centre team, and we honour their heart to pioneer and explore. We do the same for the amazing team at East Kilbride, to Alec and Rona Keys, to James and Joy Richardson, and to the many others who supported, prayed, facilitated what God was doing at East Kilbride over the past 5 years. These were not wasted years, and we will never say that they were. They were years in which God moved and presenced himself in amazing ways. They were faithful years of service to what God had asked and what God was doing, but it was time to pull up the tent pegs, move out from that position, and follow the presence of God into what was ahead. This is a time that God wants Glasgow Elam to gather. Gather its people, gather its resources, gather its efforts, gather its focus. This is the season of gathering stones. And as we identify the season, we allow it to shape the action. And that's the purpose of today. It's to call out the season and say, right, church, here's where we're at. And to call out some of the action that will accompany that. And when we look at the language that is used in Ecclesiastes, it helps us to understand a little bit more about the season that we find ourselves in. The Hebrew word that's used for gather means to collect, it means to enfold, it means to gather, it means to heap up. However, the word that is attached to that in the Hebrew suggests the purpose for what this gathering and collecting is for. The text specifically calls out that stones are to be gathered together. And the word together in the Hebrew is the word for building. So this act of gathering stones is the act of gathering for the explicit purpose of building. And we believe that God is calling Glasgow Elam to a season of gathering to build. Now, how does that fit? How does that fit with what we've been calling out that God has been speaking to us over the past number of weeks? Well, we return to the passage that we've been looking at in Joshua. Turn with me, if you will, to Joshua chapter 3. Over the past couple of weeks, we've looked at the moment that the Israelites camp by the River Jordan, which is a boundary line to the Promised Land. It's a threshold that they need to cross to enter into the next season. The Israelites are in a threshold moment, and we believe that we're in a threshold moment, so we've been looking at it to see what is God saying, how do we position ourselves? We return to the same passage this morning, and we pick up exactly where we left off, Joshua 3 and verse 14. It says, when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now, the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest, yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of the Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. In these verses, we read together the moment that the Israelites break camp and they move out from their position. They pull up their tent pegs and they follow the presence of God and cross the threshold into a new season of life. As they arrive on the other side of the Jordan, God speaks and he gives instruction. As they cross over and arrive on the banks of a new chapter in the history of Israel, God begins to direct their action and shape their function. And the first instruction he gives them is to gather and build. It's interesting that the first instruction isn't to scatter, it's to gather. God doesn't tell them, cross over and go their separate ways and explore the land. He doesn't tell them that as they reach the other side, they have to break out and explore. They have to divide and conquer and find the plots of land that they have to occupy. No, the instruction was gather and build. And specifically, the instruction was gather stones and build. Now, what were they to build? Well, look at how Joshua relays the instruction of God to the people. It says, Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of Israelites to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. The people are instructed to build. And their instruction is not to build houses to live in, which would be the logical first step and the logical first building project in a brand new land. Nor was their instruction to build a wall that would mark out their new boundary line. They aren't told to build a watchtower or a fortress to protect them as they enter into a land that doesn't technically belong to them physically yet. No, instead, they're told to build a memorial for God. They're not building for their own comfort. They're not building for their own gain. They're not building for their own status or their own profile. They are building for God. They gather stones together, and they gather stones together to build for God. Let's be clear. In this next season, we're called to gather together for the purpose of building. But let's call out and agree at the very beginning, not to build a wall that marks out our boundary and territory. Let's agree we're not going to build a watchtower or a fortress that barricades us in. Let's agree we're not even going to build a magnificent house that's all about our own comfort and our own needs. In fact, let's really operate in the opposite spirit and say we're not going to seek that which promotes our own status, raises our own profile, or gives us recognition. What if we invited ourselves? What if we invested ourselves? What if we invested our resources and our efforts in the mission of God, but decided not to put our name everywhere in the process? Not to raise the profile of the church because we want to have a reputation. I think God is actually telling us not to do that. But what if in our hearts, what if we set our hearts on saying, crossing over the threshold into this next season, our first focus is to build a memorial to God. We're going to build something that's all about Him. The Israelites were commanded to build for God and to build not for themselves. And notice how they built together. Each tribe did not build their own memorial. They didn't cross over and say, well, we want a memorial for our tribe to call out how our people group crossed over. They didn't say, as we enter into our spot of land, we want to build a memorial that is specific to us. That says, this people group that occupy this land moved over. No, as they built for God, they united together to build something that wasn't about them and was all about Him. And as they built for God, they owned the process together. They owned the building process together. They owned the finished product together. In fact, they owned the story that the memorial stones represented. They owned the act of worship and honor that the stones collected together embodied. They owned that together. And as we cross into this next season and we gather and begin to build, it's imperative that we own the building process together. This is not a building process of a pastor or a staff team or a diaconate. This is our building process that we are called to gather together and own together. That's our call. So we all need to own that call. We all need to own the instruction. We all need to own the process. We need to own the story that God is writing in this chapter of Glasgow Elam together, which means that each and every one of us has a part to play. We have a bit to do. We all have a role to perform. Now, we are blessed to have such a rich and diverse community here that is made up of many nationalities, many cultures, many races, many backgrounds, and a variety of heritage. We are from varying walks of life, different ages, different life groups and experiences. We all became part of Glasgow Elam in different ways and at different points. We all have different reasons as to why we're here and why we call this home. But what is important now is that what we build is owned by us all together. And that means that we build a culture that is not rooted in a particular ethnicity or race or age group or particular worldview, but we build a culture that is owned by us all. It is important that what we build here is not viewed as, well, that's just a white culture or a black culture. That's a male culture or a female culture. That's a Scottish culture. That's an old culture, a young culture, a modern culture. That's a word-based culture. This is a renewal culture. This is a river culture. What if we just built something that's called Glasgow Elam? What if we just built a culture that belonged to Glasgow Elam? A culture that was owned by us all because it was built by us all. A culture that says it doesn't matter what your ethnicity, your racial background, your age group, your gender, your political persuasion, or your religious experience up until now. We're building a culture that says if you're up for seeking God, sharing faith, and serving others, pull up a seat. There's room at the table for you. We need to build something that we own together. Now, we're told that each tribe selected a representative. Each representative gathered a stone for their tribe. The stone was carried from the same point to the same point. Each stone gathered together built one overall memorial. One stone was not more part of the memorial than any other stone, but gathered together, they told the story of God. And that meant that the story could not be told without all 12 of the stones. It meant that the memorial would be complete without all 12 of the stones. Church, the story that God is writing within Glasgow Elam cannot be told without you. What God is building right now will be incomplete without you. He is building something within us. He is writing on the heart of the church, and that which he's writing is our collective story. It's not my story or a leadership team's story. It is our story, a story that is all about God and not about us, a story that we are honored and privileged to be commissioned to share with the world. So we need to gather together. We need to build together. We need to own the building process together. Look at the building instructions that Joshua was given by God. Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. Now, this instruction here marks a shift in God's command to the Israelites. If you remember back at the beginning of chapter 3, God tells them that they have to move out from their positions and follow the ark, but they have to keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between them and the ark. In fact, God specifically says, do not go near the ark. But now in chapter 4, he tells them, select 12 men and send those men near the ark. In fact, they are to take from where the priests are standing with the ark. Two things come out of this, and it's interesting, or I find it interesting, that the command not to go near the ark is in Joshua 3 and verse 4, and the command to then go near the ark is in Joshua 4 and chapter 3, or verse 3. I find that interesting because I'm weird that way. But there's two things that come out of this. And the first is that the command to keep a distance from the Ark of the Covenant in chapter 3 was so that the Israelites could always keep the Ark in view. It's so that as they traveled, the presence of God was their guide. To cross over into the next season, they had to ensure that the presence of God was always in their line of vision. And that means that what transitioned them from the good to the better, what transitioned them over the boundary line, was having the presence of God as their vision. It was keeping their vision filled with his presence. Glasgow Elam, in order to transition over this threshold, the presence of God has to be our vision. We have to keep his presence always in our line of vision and in our sight. We have to let the vision of God's presence become our guide. However, the shift from transitioning to building saw a shift from the presence of God being their guide to the presence of God being their source. The Israelites took from where God was and what God was doing in order to build in the next season. See, in transitioning, the presence of God was their guide, but in building, the presence of God was their source. And that means that for us, in transition phases and stages, the presence of God has to be our guide. But in building processes, the presence of God has to be our source. Now, we understand that God was embodied in the ark that stood in the middle of the River Jordan. That means that God was present in the middle of the River Jordan. Therefore, the stones that they took from where God was. The presence of God became their source in that building phase. They took from his presence to build in the next season. But the only reason that they were able to gather stones from the middle of the River Jordan was because God split the waters. They could get what they needed to build because of what God was doing. So not only was the presence of God their source, but so also was the activity of God. They took from where God was, and they took from what God was doing to build in the next season. Now, if we believe that God is calling us to gather and build, then the question that we need to start asking is, well, where do we gather and what do we build? And the answer to that is found by asking, well, where is God and what is God doing? Because that then becomes our source. That's the gather point. That's the muster point. To build effectively, we have to gather in his presence and we have to gather round his activity. It's not rocket science, is it? It's really simple. We can get in a big fluster when it comes to vision strategy. I have over the last number of months. We often think the vision strategy has to be groundbreaking and earth-shattering and something new and really complicated and something that we've never, ever heard before. But actually, it's really simple. We just ask the question, where is God and what is God doing? Because the answer to that points to where we build and what we build with in the season that he puts us in. And this always has to be in our mindsets then. It has to shape the journey and the way that we build. We've got to build with where he is and we've got to build with what he's doing. For the Israelites, what God was doing was asking them to gather and build a memorial. And importantly, look at what God says about what he's asked them to build. He says, in the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. In these verses, God communicates the purpose of what he's asked them to build. He tells them that actually what they're building is to serve two purposes. It's to be a reminder to the people of Israel, and that's them. They are the people of Israel that have crossed over the Jordan into this new promised land. So these gathered stones are to remind them of what God has done. They will communicate God to them. However, they are also told that they have to communicate the story of God to their kids. They are called by God in this moment to build that which will minister God to them as a people and also speak of God to their children. Two purposes are called out here. Build that which communicates God to you and build that which communicates God to your children. However, this gets developed even further. Because at the end of the chapter, when the Israelites have followed through and everything that God has asked them, Joshua communicates a further purpose for this memorial. And he says, in the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. This is different. According to Joshua in verse 21, God commanded them to build something that would speak to their descendants. That's not the same as what was mentioned in verse 6. In verse 6, the Israelites are to tell their children. In verse 21, descendants are asking their parents. Now notice that Joshua isn't saying here, when your descendants ask you, this is what you have to say. He says, when your descendants ask their parents, which would suggest by the wording that neither the descendants nor the parents are present. He's speaking then, not of the current generation and the current generation's children. He's speaking of those that will come after them. He's speaking of those who aren't yet. Now we notice something absolutely phenomenal here. When God asks them to build, he asks them to build something that will minister to generations. He asks them to build something that will communicate God's reality, God's power, and God's glory to generations. He asks them to build in the now moment, but God's view is that what they construct in the now moment will have implications beyond that moment. And as he spells this out to them, he envisions them. He's given them vision. He's given them vision that is beyond what they currently perceive. He's letting them see what he sees. He's building into their culture and into their community a mindset, a vision that lifts their eyes beyond what is to what will be. And that's what vision does, doesn't it? That's what God does when he envisions his people. He lifts our eyes to the horizon. He gives us insight beyond what is towards what will be. And he calls us and he inspires us and he anoints us to navigate towards that vision and to build for it. Glasgow Elam, God is envisioning us. He's giving us insight. He's calling us to have or to build something that will have implications beyond us. He's calling us to build in this now moment, but how amazing is it that what he's calling us to build will have implications that are way beyond us? He's calling us to build for the generations. He's envisioning us to lift our eyes beyond what is to what will be, to look to the horizon, to see the greatness that is ahead. And with a vision of that, he calls us, he inspires us, he encourages us, he anoints us, he mandates us to navigate towards it, to build for it. He is calling us to build for the generations. Now, what does that look like? For the Israelites in Joshua 4, that which God asked them to build is that which, first of all, is to have implications for the current generation. Every time these people see these stones, every time they visit the stones, every time they think of the stones, it will speak of God's greatness and God's glory and minister God to them. But he also tells them that what they are building is to have implications for the next generation, for their children. They have to build that which showcases God to them, that which brings their children and their young people into a knowledge and an experience of God. And then as Joshua explains what's going on to the people, he gives them further insight into what God has spoken and tells them that actually they're building for their descendants. It's for those who are yet to be, those who are to be born that don't know of God yet and don't know about what God has done. They have to build something that is to speak to them. What they are building is to minister and communicate God to a generation of those that are yet to come and don't know him yet. They have to build something that will bring them to a knowledge of him. Glasgow Elam, we are called to gather and build. And that which we are called to build is that which will communicate God to our current generation, to the next generation, and to the future generation. That is the generation of those that don't know him yet, the souls of our city, of our family, of our friends, of our colleagues who have yet to come to life in Jesus and take their place within the family of God. We are to build something that will minister to them. Our call is to build for the now, the next, and the not yet. We are to build that which will minister to the now generation of Glasgow Elam, that will minister to those who are the next generation of Glasgow Elam, and that will minister to those who are the not yet generation of Glasgow Elam. God is envisioning us to build for the now, the next, and the not yet. Now, how do we do that? This is when we begin to move from vision towards strategy. And we come to the word and we allow the word to shape that so that everything we're doing is rooted in the plan and the purpose of God. How do we do that? Well, how did the Israelites do it? The Israelites took from where God was and from what God was doing to build that which would minister to the now, the next, and the not yet. We reflect the same approach in our strategy. The strategy that we adopt for the journey that is ahead, a journey that is more than just the next few months or even just the next year. This is the next significant journey for us as a church. And the first step in that is that we begin by building something that ministers to the now generation. What does the now generation of Glasgow Elam look like? Well, we already said that the church emerging from the pandemic was not the same as the church that entered into the pandemic. So the first place that we've sought to begin is with gaining an understanding of what Glasgow Elam looks like emerging from the pandemic. This has seen the reissuing of the dreaded GDPR forms, the updating of data, the email out requesting updates, the telephone calls, the connections been made to try and understand where we're at. These forms haven't just been for form's sake, but they've been to try and help us build a picture of the state of play to try and understand the now generation of Glasgow Elam. And here it is. At present, 349 people call Glasgow Elam home. That's 349 people that we hold details for that have completed the dreaded GDPR forms or who have identified in some way as being connected to us as a church. Our average weekly attendance at church is 200 adults and children. That's average. Some weeks we're a lot more than that. Some weeks we're a good bit less than that. Because COVID has changed the way that we engage with church and the pattern by which we attend church. It's our understanding that generally across the board, Most churches are seeing a small percentage of their overall congregation returning to every week attendance. However, that said, who cares what's happening across the board? Let's buck the trend. Glasgow Elam, it's time to gather and build. Let's gather together in one moment. Let's engage with what God is saying and what God's doing. It's time to gather and build. Now, Glasgow Elam, presently, our family is made up of 270 adults and 79 young people who are aged 18 and under. Our church family gathers from across 188 households and from a vast geographical spread across the city and beyond. Let me show you that. On this map, every dot represents a home or household that is attached to Glasgow Elam. Now, as you look at that map, imagine if God broke out amongst us as we gathered together. And then imagine that God broke out in each and every one of our homes as a result. The result could be the transformation of an entire region of Scotland. So we build for that. And here's how we do it. We pause and we look at the state of play. We examine who we are and what we look like, because in this season, the first task is to build that which ministers to the now generation. And the now generation are those that God has called and gathered into our church family presently. And this is then where God is, and it's what God is doing. He is currently ministering to us. He is moving amongst us. He's ministering to those of us that are connected to our community. He's presence amongst us. If we want to know what he's doing in Glasgow Elam, we look round the room and see. We want to know where he is. We look round the room and see. And as we recognize that, we gather around it to build. And as we do, we begin to look at ministry models and practices. Ministry models and practices that communicate God to us, the now generation. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be exploring and implementing a brand new pastoral care model, an approach that will be taught out, that will be explained, but an approach and a model that focuses on helping each person in this church family to feel connected to Glasgow Elam and supported in their spiritual walk with Jesus. As restrictions lift, we're going to begin to reintroduce prayer ministry within services as well as regular celebrations of communion. We will increase serving and ministry opportunities within the church and begin to increase moments of connection and intentional opportunities for community. We are currently looking at discipleship pathways and how we can enable every single person that is part of our family to progress in their journey and feel empowered to seek God, share faith, and serve others. We commit to build that which shapes Jesus in each and every one of us, that which ministers God to you and ministers God to me and ministers and says, regardless of what tribe and clan we might be, we build something that says, if you're up for seeking, sharing, and serving, pull up a seat, there's room for you. We build for the now generation. But we've also got to build that which ministers to the next generation. We have to invest our resources, our energy in intentionally building that which communicates the reality of God and an understanding of him to our kids and our young people. And as we say that, wherever you're seated across this room right now, young people, we love you. We love you. And as we use this language and rhetoric, let's call something out first of all. You are part of the current generation. You're part of our church. You are part of the now generation, but you are also the next generation of our church. One day you will stand in our places and speak God to the generation that comes after you. So we want you to know today, we're building for you. We make a public commitment and declaration that this church will build for you. We commit that we will do our best to build for you the very best, to build that which will communicate God to you, that will bring you to a knowledge where you know that you know that you know that you know that God is real, God is powerful, and God is for you, and so are we. We are for you, and we are building for you. As we've already mentioned, when it comes to building and strategy, we look to see where God is and what God is doing, and we gather around it and we build with it. And one of the ways that we can discern that is to take stock of where we are. Glasgow Elam is a family made up of a vast spread of ages. Just under one third of our congregation are aged 30 and under. Now, recent development has seen a growing number of young adults, that is the student age range in our church family, and it's been amazing to see our young adults step into service and ministry within different areas of Glasgow Elam. God has blessed us with some incredible young adults. And so we recognise where God is moving and what he is doing, and we build around it. In recent months, a young adults ministry has been established that meets weekly on a Wednesday evening here in the church. And within this gathering moment, young adults get a chance to connect with each other, to share life experiences, to explore faith and discipleship. Our young adults have also established their own connect groups, which meet as part of the overall connect group strategy. And all of this is supported by members of staff who provide input and pastoral care. On top of that, we've seen young adults from outside our church community come and be part of this ministry and begin to shape and explore their own faith journey. Now, in taking these steps, we're just following the favour, aren't we? We're seeking to build round where we see God at work and what we see God doing. And as we share all of that, young adults, wherever you are right now, please understand, we don't view you as a project for us as a church. You are our church. We don't talk about this like stripes on the sleeve and a badge of honour, aren't we great by what we're doing? We consider ourselves favoured by God to have amazing young men and women like yourselves as part of our family. And we are privileged to be part of your journey. And we are beyond blessed by the way that you minister within this church. And of course, as we call out that, all we're doing then is identifying what's going on. And as we do that, we need to call out that we have been blessed to have an incredible kids and youth team here at Glasgow Elam Church. Arriving at the church, Susan and I were blown away by the amazing ministry taking place amongst our kids and youth. How awesome is it to have 40 high school age young people in our youth ministry and a growing number of kids engaging in other areas of ministry? And let's be clear, we have 40 kids in high school ministry in part because they journeyed through the creche and they journeyed through the kids ministry and they journeyed through all that was taking place. And you know, last August, we sought to bring everything under one banner, Limitless. And the heart of bringing all under one banner was to reflect the desire to create one continuous experience and discipleship pathway for our young people. From birth, right through to the end of high school, and even beyond that into student life as young adults, a carefully considered pathway of discipleship has been created with intentional transition points along the way. And for me, it's been a blessing. In fact, one of the highlights of the past 12 months to work alongside the leaders of Limitless Littles, our creche ministry, Limitless Stars, our preschool ministry, Limitless Kids, our primary school ministry, Limitless Youth, our high school ministry. Working alongside these leaders has been incredible because, let me tell you and honor them right now, they are an amazing group of human beings who have a huge heart to see our kids and young people encounter God. Let's honour them. And part of the discussions that we've been having is to look at developing an overall curriculum that sees topics, themes, and scripture being covered in each of the groups at the same time, but in ways that are age and stage appropriate. This means that as our kids and young people navigate through the kids and youth ministry, they're actually following a discipleship pathway. Let's make this clear as well, that when the kids leave here and go out, they're not going to church childcare. They're engaging in a discipleship pathway that is bringing them into an experience and relationship with Jesus. We want to build a pathway that at each stage sees the seed planted, and then it watered, and then it nurtured, and then its growth tended to bear fruit. The hope is that by developing an all-age curriculum that covers the same topics, but at every age and stage in a way that is appropriate, is to take the understanding and learning and deepen it, and then build upon it and reinforce it, so the end result is a meaningful, deep, true relationship with Jesus Christ. In this process, we've identified transition points. This sees those getting ready to go up into the next group from the first Sunday after Easter will be supported in crossing over into the group in a way that is comfortable and supportive for them. Now, we are aware that for some of our kids, the experience of church and even the experience of kids' ministry can be a little bit overwhelming. Or that for some of our children, they have additional support or complex needs. So in response to this, we're getting ready to launch a brand new ministry called Limitless Explorers. And Limitless Explorers will work with our children who find the environment of church a little bit overwhelming or who simply need that little bit more support. We're in the process of turning the first of the kids' room just off the foyer at the tea and coffee bar into a fully kitted out sensory room. We're also going to be creating a space within the sanctuary here for kids that need to regulate during worship. And we're also looking to install sensory trails around the church property because we want Glasgow Elam to be an inclusive experience and home for all of our kids. We do this. And we look to build all of this simply by looking to see where is God and what is God doing. Let's build around that. And he's blessed us with some phenomenal kids and young people. And we absolutely love the socks right off you. Now again, looking to follow the favour has led to a really interesting development. Last winter, Glasgow Elam purchased 50 brand new warm winter coats for children at an 8th Street Primary School from the funds that were aside for the Coats for Kids initiative. The delivery of these coats to the school and the conversation that revolved around that resulted in an invitation from the senior management team for Glasgow Elam to build further relationship with the school and provide chaplaincy input. Now get this, Glasgow Elam have been invited to lead regular school assemblies, to input into classroom lessons and to be a regular presence within the school community. How amazing is that? On top of that, the school have identified a serving opportunity that will see a team from Glasgow Elam beginning to connect regularly with and beginning to serve the families that are attached to Annette Street Primary School. This is an amazing opportunity. It's a door that God has opened. We did not push the door. We didn't even go looking for this opportunity. It came looking for us. And an opportunity has arrived on our doorstep to begin to reach out to begin to touch, to begin to connect, to begin to serve the families that make up the immediate community around our church. I am beyond excited, in case you can't tell. I am beyond excited to be able to share with you what's coming up. It's incredible. We don't have time to go into it, but we have a tremendous opportunity and there are steps that we're about to take that will take us right into that opportunity to the best of our ability. But in this step, all we're doing is just following the favour. God has opened up the door and we're seeking to build around where we see him and what we see him doing. On top of that, a regular playtime session has been started in the church here on Thursday morning. This session is aimed at 0 to 3-year-olds and seeks to bring parents and children together around an excellent and high-quality sensory play experience that has gospel undertones and communicates the heart of God to both parent and child alike. 2 sessions are held every week, both of which have been and continue to be fully booked with a waiting list of people that want to join and take part. Every Thursday, over 40 families come through the doors into this room here every single week with their kids. And as the team have sought to provide a safe space, they've seen parents opening up, finding emotional support. God chats have taken place. There's been moments in which parents and carers have been prayed for, as in hands-on prayer ministry. Recently, some parents have talked about playing some of the Christian music that they heard at the playtime session at home during the week. And we've even had parents and carers come along on a Sunday morning and be part of the church. There is a mission field in this area. Without any real effort, with little to no investment in terms of promotion, we've seen families come through the door of our church happy to be in a space that they call safe and an environment that brings them joy. So as a church, we want to follow the favor. We want to build around where we see that he is and what we see that he's doing. And very clearly, he is all over the kids and family stuff at the moment. So in order to build around that, it's our desire to create a remit on the staff team that will see and develop a children and families ministry and outreach on an intentional basis, week in and week out. This will see ministries and initiatives developed that provide holistic support from a God perspective to parents and families. Ministry that will seek to put in place avenues of support and spiritual input that build a bridge between the initiatives and the people attending it and the church here and all that we do. This role, in order to accomplish that, this role will see at the appropriate point in the months ahead, our existing youth worker transition into this new role to focus on children and families. To facilitate this, then, we'll be looking to recruit a new youth worker to continue the excellent ministry that is currently taking place amongst our young people, and also to begin to explore the chaplaincy opportunities at Annette Street Primary School. As we call that out, let me also make this crystal clear. This transition will be taking place in the months ahead and will only take place once a suitable candidate has been recruited for the youth work position. However, we're excited about what is ahead, and as a church, we commit to build for the next generation, don't we? And we do so just by identifying where is God and what is he doing, and let's just direct our resources to build in those areas. The Children and Families Initiative will take place as part of our call to gather and build for the next generation, but will also form part of our call to build for the not yet generation too. As a church, we have to commit to build that which will communicate God to those that don't know him yet. For the future generation of believers that are still to come and become part of God's family here in this house and experience his glory with us. In the coming months, we're going to share a new ethos of evangelism and outreach that equips every individual to share their faith and also looks to turn every gathering moment into a gospel opportunity. We're currently crafting ways in which we can facilitate evangelism and also looking at how we can support those coming to faith in our services and events and help them successfully move from making a decision to becoming a disciple. I don't know if you remember, but just before Christmas, we had a Sunday Christmas at Englefield Street. And we opened up the floor and we provided an opportunity to thank God for all that had taken place over this past year. And there were stories that popped up all around the room of protection, provision, and God breaking through and God breaking out and incredible things happening. And then right at the very end, a man stood up and says, "I don't know this God that you're talking about, but I want to." And remember, we prayed for him because he wasn't well. And that Sunday, he gave his life to Jesus Christ. A few weeks later, he passed away. But can we see what God was doing? We've been talking about this as a staff team, but we firmly believe that that was the first fruits of seeing souls come to Jesus, of people being brought within the boundaries of ministry here at Glasgow Elam and supernaturally having encounters with Jesus that transform who they are and get them ready for future glory. Glasgow Elam, we are crossing into a new season. And the call is to gather together and build. Our call is to see where God is and what God is doing and build around it. We must build that which ministers to the now, to the next, and to the not yet generations. It's time to gather stones together and build. Now let's bring this into conclusion. God spoke to the Israelites crossing into their new season to gather stones and build. His instructions specifically were to gather stones together and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. The Hebrew word for stay means to stop overnight or to stay permanently. It strikes me that for the Israelites, they did both. Where they put the stones down and the place that they built not only marked the spot where they were staying overnight, but also marked the place where they crossed over to stay permanently. These stones gathered together in a heap, the cairn that they created actually marked a line in the ground. It marked the point of no return. They transitioned from wilderness wandering to pursuing purpose. They would not go past this point back to where they were. They would only ever go forward from that point into greater. Their efforts in gathering the stones and building called out a commitment to only ever go forward and never go back. And in that sense, that gathered cairn spoke powerfully to the current generation of Israelites. It ministered to them. It ministered a sense of purpose. It ministered direction. It brought vision of a new life. It released a sense of empowerment, and it gave them hope. Glasgow, as we commit to gather and build for the now, the next, and the not yet, may our gathering around this mandate release within us a sense of purpose, that this is what we are now working towards. We're not just bobbing along in pandemic status. We are now working towards something. May it begin to communicate and release direction. This is the way that we should go. This is the direction of travel. May it bring a vision of a new season and what this next chapter of life in Glasgow Elam might look like. May it empower us to press into God and believe for incredible things in the process. And may it give us hope, hope that the greatest days of Glasgow Elam lie in its future and not in its past. Stepping over the threshold and into the new season, our focus has to be on crossing over the Jordan together. And our focus is to shape our ministry practices in such a way that each person crossing the threshold into this next season feels that there's a place for them, a place where they're able to flourish and grow in all that God has called them to be. If we can commit to this together, if we build together, if we can unite and gather around this mandate from God for the season that is ahead, then this commitment could actually truly mark a point of no return, a line in the ground. It could see us build a structure that looks different for this next season of ministry and communicates that from this point onwards, this church is never going backwards, it's only going forwards into greater. The prayer is that this next season marks the point of no return, that this threshold that we cross is one that we will never navigate backwards over again, but will only ever navigate forwards into all that is ahead. So church, let's follow the presence of God. Let's recognize where he is and what he's doing. And let's gather round that to build something for the now, for the next, and the not yet generation. Glasgow Elam, it's time to gather stones and build for God.